Thank you, Travis, and good morning. Happy Sabbath, everybody.
Good morning.
The Sabbath right before Pentecost, as we all know. So please go ahead and start turning with me to Acts chapter 1 and the very first verse, verse 1. And for the remainder of this message, we'll stay primarily in this chapter. To me, it seems a good place to be at this time, a good chapter to review. Tomorrow's Pentecost, as we know. And the very next chapter, chapter 2 of Acts, speaks of the wonderful blessings that took place on that very day, that day of Pentecost. Not long after Jesus left the disciples and descended up into the clouds. The biggest blessing, of course, is being the giving of the Holy Spirit by God freely to all that believe. And the reason for this was made plain in the blessing, which we also very much enjoy. And that is made plain in chapter 2, verse 16 of Acts. But they're not the original words. They were actually taken straight from the book of Joel. If you would please start to turn there with me. That's the book of Joel, chapter 2 and verse 28. And we'll read those original words that were mentioned there in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 16. So starting in verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And now dropping down to verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So there, even way back in the Old Testament of Joel, a truly great and awesome blessing that was prophesied so long ago, a blessing that was brought to the writer of Acts, remembrance upon his recognizing that it was taking place there in front and all around him. And because he was there to witness and experience the powerful occasion, Peter, being the bold and powerful speaker that he was, quickly spoke up and he gave witness. But my purpose today in this message is not to go into detail about those very exciting events. That's for Pentecost. It is to stay mostly in chapter 1, so back to chapter 1 of Acts and verse 1, to focus on the events that took place leading up to the day of Pentecost. So, starting in verse 1, the former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostles and whom he had chosen. But let's stop right there, because for the intent of these verses to become, I think, more clear, we need to actually go back to the very end of Luke, chapter 24. So please hold your place in Acts and start turning to Luke, starting in verse 49. And by starting to Luke, I think we'll get a better flow into the beginning of Acts. Some actually refer to the two books as Luke-Acts because of the easy transition that takes place between them. So again, that's Luke 24 and starting in verse 49, where we break into Jesus saying the following. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Okay, so let's now get back to Acts. Again, chapter 1, and we'll reread, starting from the beginning. The former treaty or explanation have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So I think we start to see a better flow. It's not a new set of thoughts starting the beginning of Acts, but rather a continuation of the storyline or witness of Jesus' life and teaching from the end of Luke right into the beginning of Acts. The writer of Acts is carrying over directly from Luke, where Jesus has said his final words to the disciples and ascended into heaven. There's really not a, a transition, it's just a, or a smooth, you know, from one thought to the other. It's actually the same treaty or the same thought. So let's continue now in verse 3 of Acts. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So from this verse, notice there's a mention of Jesus showing himself alive to the disciples and others after being crucified and resurrected. This too is mentioned in the verses we just read from Luke. Additionally, notice that he was seen of them for a period of 40 days. Okay, let's now continue in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he says, "He, you have heard of me." Notice here the command from Jesus is not to leave Jerusalem. We just earlier read him giving the same command in the last chapter of Luke in verse 49. Okay, now verse 5 of Acts. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Here again is a reference to Luke, to the end of Luke 24, where Jesus puts it a little different in verse 49, until you be endowed with the power from on high. So we see a continual, thought, just going straight from Luke into Acts. All right, let's continue now in verse 6 of Acts, chapter 1. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power, and after that the Holy Spirit has come unto you." Again, there's another reference to Luke 24 and verse 49. "And you shall be witnesses." And what's the reason given for receiving the Holy Spirit? To be witnesses, or to testify, which are words used regularly, meaning to give an explanation. And the explanation is unto Jesus, of course. And where should we give this explanation? We should, reading here in the verse, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, throughout the entire earth. And now verse 9, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So here yet again is another reference to Luke, this one being in verse 51, where he ascended into the clouds. He was parted, where it says, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Okay, now let's continue in Acts 1, now verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Let's stop right there, because the reason being, this verse reminds me of what we can read in 1 Kings 19. Go ahead and start turning there, please. 1 Kings 19. The actual verse reference is verse 13, where it says, "A still small voice," but we'll start actually in verse 11. Again, holding your place in Acts. I'm reminded of this passage especially because of the very next verses that we'll read in just a minute in Acts. But before we continue reading that, let's read here 1 Kings 19, starting at verse 11. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah had heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out, and he stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice, small voice, and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" So, where was the Lord? Was he in the strong wind? No. Was he in the earthquake? No. Was he in the fire? Again, no. Was the Lord in the still small voice? Yes. So let's now, with that thought, go back to Acts, and again in verse 10. Verse 10. "And when they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And then came the voice, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into the heaven?" In other words, the Lord is not in the clouds. They're saying, "The same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." In other words, what are you doing here? Why are you still standing? Go. Stop standing and gazing. Then they returned unto Jerusalem, as Jesus had earlier instructed. They returned from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And why were they a Sabbath day's journey from Jerusalem? Well, it's, as it said in Luke 24 and verse 50, we read earlier, he led them out from Jerusalem as far as to Bethany. So again, another easy continuation from Luke to Acts. All right, now verse 13, continuing in Acts, chapter 1. And they were, and when they were come in, they went up into upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of them being about 120, Peter said, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry." So what is Peter beginning to do here? With Jesus having just ascended into heaven and they're making, and they'd made their journey back to Jerusalem, Peter, I think, is making sure to do what Jesus had early instructed him to do those three times. And that is, feed my sheep. Peter does not, but does Peter completely fill the void and assume full leadership responsibility, as some claim? Well, certainly no. Since we can read in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10, you don't need to turn there. But again, Colossians 2 and verses 9 and 10, it says, "For in him, that is Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." So obviously Peter is not the head, Jesus is. So continuing to read what Peter has to say as he boldly feeds Jesus' sheep. He's speaking God's words here, and at the same time, he's making the case to fill yet another void, that being the one created by Judas. Now this man, who was Judas Iscariot, let's continue now in verse 18 of Acts chapter 1. "Now this man, who was Judas Iscariot, purchased the field." This is Peter saying this. "Purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, having been paid for betraying Jesus. And he, Judas, falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Aceldama. And this is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein." All right, let's quickly go to Psalms. Again, holding your place in Acts. The specific Old Testament reference Peter has made is actually found in Psalms, in verse 25. But we'll actually start at verse 21 to get the context. Again, Psalm 69, starting at verse 21, and we'll read here the very inspired passage given by David. And it's going to, I think, help us to have a better understanding of Peter's point. So again, let's start at Psalm 69, chapter 69, verse 21. "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." Of course, we know this speaks directly to the mistreatment Jesus was given just before his death. And now verse 22 then. And we see God's reaction in the very next verse 22. "Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let the wrathful anger take hold of them." And now the verse that Peter quoted. "Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents or habitations." Now turning back to Acts. So with the understanding of what happened to Judas, where some commentators say he fell headlong attempting to hang himself, stated in Matthew 27 and verse 5, and upon falling he hit the ground and his stomach burst open, as was stated in Acts 1 and verse 18. We see that Peter is using Psalms to explain God's reaction to not only Judas, but to the Pharisees who also plotted against Jesus, because the field purchased by the Pharisees with the money was used, the money they used to kill Jesus. That field is to be uninhabited as it is and to be known as the field of blood. With all that detail being within Peter's words from verses 18 through to the nearly the end of verse 20, let's now go there to read Peter's proposal of what to do next, with Judas now being dead. The very end of verse 20, it says, in his bishopric, that is Judas' position, let another take. So here again, Peter has fulfilled leadership responsibilities by proposing the way forward, which will better organize them as a group for the future. This is, of course, good for many reasons, but simply a stable congregation is a healthy congregation and one poised for growth. Okay, verse 21, Peter continues. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So he's starting to make, you know, he's continuing to make his proposal. Now 23, and they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias, and they prayed and said, you, Lord, which know the hearts of all men, show whether of these two you have chosen, and they made that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, which from Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So the matter seemed good to the other 10 disciples, and Matthias was added to them to make a complete group, once again, as they had been. Their leadership of 12 strong was set and now stable, with Peter having been the most bold, helping to lead the way as Jesus had wanted him to. They're now ready for what comes next on Pentecost. But let's review real quickly the events detailed in the last chapter of Luke and the last chapter of Acts. In Luke 24, verse 7, we read that Jesus has risen from the dead, that we may in him also have life. And then in verse 31, and still in Luke, their eyes are opened, and they recognize Jesus, who has been walking with them and teaching them, as he always was inclined to do, and then he vanished. And then next in verse 36 of Luke, Jesus reappears to comfort them and to teach them more of what was to come. And now, going over into Acts, verse 3, we understand that Jesus taught them after rising from the grave for a duration of 40 days. And then at the end of those 40 days, we read in both Luke 24:51 and Acts 1, verse 9, that Jesus ascends into heaven. Then in Luke 24:52 and Acts 1:12, they return to Jerusalem. Then starting in Acts 1:15, Peter boldly stands up and proposes the way forward. Shortly afterwards, in Acts chapter 1:26, a new disciple is chosen to replace Judas. And with that, the major events that the writer of Luke and Acts wanted to convey from the time of Jesus rising from the grave until the time leading up to and just before Pentecost, he's made those events known. The transition is complete. The stage is now set. For 40 days, Jesus continued to teach his followers from Passover, you know, continuing on for 40 days. And for the remaining 10, they organized themselves and they were in Jerusalem, which comes pretty close to 50 days, I think, if you put it together. So to conclude, please turn to Luke 24 and verse 53. Luke 24, verse 53, and And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Now start to turn to Acts 2 and verse 1 for a very similar and, I think, stage-setting verse. It is here that the writer has us really wanting to know what comes next. The whole chapter of Acts 1 has done a nice transition. Jesus has said in Acts 1 and verse 4, they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. They knew something big was coming, but they didn't know what. But they had some idea, because similarly at the end of verse 49, Jesus said, until you be endowed with the power from on high. So they were very excited. Jesus had told them, you know, something big is coming. Go back to Jerusalem, assemble yourselves. They were full of energy and they were full of faith. So they were poised, they were ready. So now, verse 1 of Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, as they were instructed by Jesus, they were with one accord and in one place. They were ready. But because this is not the day of Pentecost, this is where I'm going to stop. There's more to come tomorrow, so let's make sure we're poised also and ready.